Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I want you, want me. I need you, need me. I love you, love me. I'm begging you to baby. I want you, want me. I need
Please
you.
Welcome Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida.
Donald Trump is unstoppable. Elect him president again, and America will be unstoppable too. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's been out of it. Democrats have been hiding the real Biden for years. We saw people in the witness protection program more often than we saw unscripted Biden.
So, as you would expect, Matt Gaetz was doing his very normal, very expectable routine of, you know, flamethrowing, throwing jabs, throwing shots, being a good, you know, a giver of a licking, so to speak, at the Republican National Convention last night. I would say as hype man for the party and the platform and the candidate, that's his role. We've seen him in this many, many times, and he's very, very good at it.
Under Biden-Harris, America has fallen sicker, lonelier, and poorer. Under Trump, we prospered. We were richer. Inflation was low, and there were two genders.
Which it kind of interestingly didn't land, I thought, for the audience. They thought it was out of tone a little bit for the audience. There have been several people make the reference to the Ketanji Brown Jackson Supreme Court interview process where she, you know, rather infamously said, "I'm not a scientist," in answer to the question of, you know, how do you define a woman? And
but others who have used that line, it's actually kind of worked.
Yeah, it was interesting that it didn't work for him. Yeah, maybe they weren't paying attention. Maybe they're just not into Matt Gaetz. You know, I don't know. I just don't know where the rest of the party is around the country as opposed to where people are in Florida. David mentioned it in the top of the hour reporting on Matt Gaetz's speech last night. This, what I thought was actually a pretty good joke.
Under Biden-Harris, inflation has gotten so bad, you can no longer bribe Democrat senators with cash alone. You have to use gold bars just so the bribes hold value.
That's a good line. I mean, that's a good line. Is, you know, even somebody like Bob Menendez has to be bribed with gold bars in order to avoid the depreciate or the loss of value through inflation. I actually thought that made me laugh a little bit. So, and you heard the bit about, you know, ending public financing for campaigns and single stock dealing and lobbyists for life and all of that kind of stuff. And then again, just, you know, this is kind of Matt's tone for the speech yesterday, which was probably, as I'm thinking back on yesterday and even the other speeches throughout the week, a lot of the focus has been on people telling stories and telling why they were wrong about Trump. You know, people who voted against him 4 years ago or 8 years ago or both, people who didn't realize how bad it would be under Biden. But particularly, it's been not a rebranding of Trump. I mean, that's also been going on, but more of a, I was wrong about Trump. Well, you know, Matt isn't going to get up and say I was wrong about Trump because he was on the Trump train from, you know, day negative five. Like, there was Trump's running. It's kind of interesting because his family, of course, you know, had been heavy supporters of Jeb Bush. You may not remember this, but when Jeb Bush came to Pensacola and he was at the Bay Center, you know, of course, Trump came to the Pensacola Bay Center and he was in the main event area and he, you know, packed it out. Jeb Bush came to the Bay Center and he lightly filled one of the side meeting rooms. I mean, there's a couple, maybe there's 200 people in the room. I remember vividly, and I was talking with Don Gaetz afterwards, who was there supporting, of course, the Bush family. And then everything went in a completely different direction. And of course, Trump won the nomination. But Matt was, you know, very early on a vocal advocate for Trump. And so he's not really going to get up on stage and say, I was so wrong about Trump. I mean, that just wouldn't, you know, really fit for him.
And President Trump understands that if it isn't racist to check ID for a hunting license or welfare benefits or a fishing license, then it is okay to demand an ID to vote everywhere in this country in every election that's held.
You got good red meat applause with that one, and then following up.
A Democrat congressman recently said that any criticism of Joe Biden is ableist. I don't think it's too much to ask that the American president be able to do the job.
Now, that's a word that not everybody even yet, it's been used for several years, but not even everybody is familiar with it. I kind of throw it out there in the transgressors ceremony pretty frequently. You know, ageism is the idea that you judge somebody adversely on the basis of their age. Either they're old and you say, therefore, they're not competent anymore just because they're old, or they're young. You know, ageism can be a young thing. You know, hey, boomer is kind of an ageism thing, right? The explanation of why you don't get this is because you're just, you know, of a certain generation or whatever. Well, ableism, if you're not familiar with the term, is the idea that you are judging somebody adversely, criticizing them, stereotyping them, using prejudice against them on the basis of some physical or mental inadequacy or handicap, a word that you don't hear used an awful lot outside of golf anymore. But, you know, if somebody, for example, is born deaf and you say, you know, anything about their ability to drive, for example, because they're not able to hear the lights and sirens and, you know, well, they can't hear the lights, but they hear the sirens. Well, that's ableism. And so if you judge somebody on the basis of what they're, you know, what they can physically or mentally handle, it's, kind of the idea that there's a normal human being and then there's something that is other, deficient, abnormal, you know, missing something. Well, ableism is, and I know for those of you who are hearing this for the first time, you're like, what in the, of course, everybody gets judged on their capabilities. That's the idea, is your competence or your incompetence. And if you can't do a thing, then of course. Well, again, the premise of this notion is that it's wrong, it's immoral to hold up some notion of the standard human capability and then to criticize anybody who doesn't meet that standard or even meet a higher standard. And so for Joe Biden, who is clearly showing cognitive decline at the age of 81, you're criticizing him for his ableism, and that's wrong because it's unfair to think that anybody, let alone an 81-year-old, should be somehow held to the same standard as somebody who's 50 or 40 or something like. I mean, I'm just trying to help you understand what the word is. It's wild. And you actually had a Democratic congressman, I mean, Matt's not making this up, go on CNN and talk about why it's inappropriate to criticize Joe Biden in these ways. And the guy's name is Stephen Horsford. He happens to be the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. He was on with Abby Phillip. This was her first question.
My understanding, based on the reporting from our team on the Hill, is that there were really no, there was no pushback. There were no questions about the president and the concerns about his health. Why is that? Are there no members in the CBC who are concerned about whether President Biden physically can carry out the duties of the presidency for another 4 years?
It's a very fair question. You guys had this big meeting with him. Why didn't anybody ask about his mental condition, his mental state? Are you not worried or concerned about that? Here's his answer.
People are most concerned about right now is the fact that it was President Biden and Democrats in Congress that capped the cost of insulin, that helped expand health care for people on the Affordable Care Act that Donald Trump wants to roll back. What people are focused on is the ability that we need to make sure our constituents can afford to pay the rent at the first of the month. They're more concerned about their own performance and not the performance of any presidential candidate in the last debate. Clearly, this president is fit to serve.
It's a 100% deflection, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, she's asking about his mental status, and did anybody in the CBC ask him about that? And the answer is, we're not concerned about that. We think that's stupid. Performance in a debate is nothing. We want to know, which has been the president's answer, is he still performing? Is he still getting us all of these things? So she actually, to her credit, pressed him a second time. I'm not going to play you because it's just long. She does it again. She says, But really, sir, this has been the only story ever since the debate until basically the assassination attempt. The only story anybody's been talking about was the debate performance and his obvious cognitive decline that has been sheltered, hidden, stashed away, and not allowed to be on display for the American people. Aren't you concerned about that? And he, again, second time, deflects 100% and says, well, people are, you know, they're not interested in that. I don't really know who you're talking to. He totally tries to gaslight her. Like, you're crazy. You know, what's wrong with you? So she comes back third time. She asks the question.
A recent one after the debate.
Oh, she's giving him polling. Like, sir, we're aware that the American people really do care about this. It has changed polling, and we've asked about this, and people say they are very concerned about this. And don't gaslight me. I've got some facts.
Showing more than 70% of voters think that President Biden is not demonstrating the capacity to be president. 56% of Democrats say that they would be better off with another nominee. Those are the concerns that I'm talking about that are showing up in the numbers and that are affecting his approval rating.
So to her credit, three times asks the easy, well, not the easy, but the obvious question that everybody has been asking. And this is the part that Matt was referring to. This was his answer on the, aren't you worried about Biden's mental faculties? And of course, over the next 4 years, what's going to happen because none of this stuff gets better, right?
What I find interesting is the issue is more around ageism and ableism and not what this president, President Biden, has done. His age didn't keep him from lifting 50% of children out of poverty. His age did not prevent him from passing a bipartisan infrastructure law. His age didn't prevent him from passing the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act in order to keep our communities safe from gun violence. It is his experience and his civility, because he actually cares about the American people, while Donald Trump only cares about himself.
Ageism and ableism to think that the president's mental capabilities have declined, and that concerns you for the leader of the free world who's going to go into rooms and talk with Putin and Xi and anybody else and make decisions and be briefed and makes us wonder who's running the country and is it him or is it not him? That's ableism. That's ageism. That's the thing that Matt was talking about when he was referring to it in his speech. And it's just, I mean, he's beyond gaslighting her at this point. I think he's gaslighting himself. He's trying to talk himself into the whole, you know, it's just wrong to ask these questions. How dare you? Because, you know, the argument there is the president's getting the job done. And, you know, if he can't utter two sentences that are coherent after 8 o'clock at night, don't worry about that. He's still getting bills passed. Or somebody is. So it was an interesting moment. I didn't know the reference either when Matt made the comment in the speech. And so I went back and listened. I'm like, wow, that is kind of amazing. So Matt finished up the speech. Matt Gaetz, of course, finishing up his red meat speech to the convention yesterday. Fairly early in the evening, I would say, given his previous prominence and proximity to Trump. Of course, the sort of ongoing allegations against him, whatever you think about that, he didn't seem to me to be as high in the priority list as I might have expected. But it's not necessarily because he's at all on the outs with the party or with Trump. It may be, okay, but I just think that wasn't their core message. Their core message was who Trump is. He's a real person. He's a human being. And all of these other things are a sort of better message for selling the Trump presidency than Matt Gaetz. The tone that he's got, that kind of, you know, flamethrower tone, isn't exactly what they're going for. It's not that it's not allowed. It's just not the main message.
Yeah.
So they can run Biden from the nursing home, Harris, George Clooney, Robert De Niro, whoever they want to run. We are on a mission to rescue and save this country, and we ride or die with Donald John Trump to the end. Thank you all so much. Thank you for having my back. Let's go get him.
And I think Trump had not yet arrived even when Matt was speaking, because it was early. It was like maybe 5 or 6 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And Trump didn't get there till maybe an hour.
It was about 6:15.
Okay. And I think Matt Trump got there maybe 7-ish, something like that. So anyway, Bobby, you were going to say something while I was kind of talking there.
I think that they have moved on from Matt as far as being, they're not going to like completely
not invite him, but the fact that he's on Thursday, not on a Friday, where
or not Wednesday, not Thursday,
Wednesday, not Thursday. You know, so he's not on the final day where you're the Trump cheerleader. And that's what he's been. And he had a very good Trump cheerleading speech, but I think they've moved on from him.
Yeah, and it's true that if anything, he's warming up for J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
And J.D. Vance's speech was not this tone.
Oh, no.
Not even close to this tone. No.
I agree with you that they're moving in a different tone. They want to humanize Donald Trump and stuff like this. They could have told Matt, hey, humanize Donald Trump. You could be on Thursday. But now I think they're like, you know what, just do your regular hype speech. We're just going to put you on Wednesday. I don't know if it's because of the allegations or if it's because they need to move on from that kind of attitude. And look, when the president himself is going, I'm going to change my whole speech on Thursday. It's going to be about unity.
Right.
Matt Gaetz is not the person you want to be representing unity.
And this speech that Matt gave, he could have given that if the assassination hadn't happened. No change. You know? So, again, it's I don't want to read too much into it, but I would say just as an observer, the fit between his tone and content and the rest of the convention and the big main speakers, not in tone line with the rest of the stuff. 526 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. That's Bobby Rossi. We are here in Milwaukee through tomorrow. We'll be here and then coming back home to Pensacola and just giving you coverage from the convention and talking about what we see. And hopefully you're getting a lot from it. I know it's been a very interesting experience for us to see it firsthand. Lots of surprises for me personally, just in terms of what we've experienced. But we're here in Milwaukee. We'll be back with you in just a minute.
Hey, if you're 64 years old, turning 65, or retiring, and you're going to make the switch from what you've generally had in the past, which is regular health insurance, over onto Medicare, hey, listen up. This is actually very easy to do, but I know you've probably been getting phone calls and letters and people kind of almost harassing you, making it seem like this is a big deal and it's scary and you got to do it with them or what. No, look, this is very easy. The questions you have are very easy to answer. What supplement? What's Advantage? What's Medicaid? What is prescription drug coverage? All of this stuff is no big deal. I know because my good friend Ricky Stewart handles exactly this. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one slice of it that she handles, and she can help you because she's helped loads of other people just like you make this transition. 341-2185 or look her up online, Ricky Stewart Insurance.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
All veils and misty, streets are blue.
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We are live in Milwaukee. Day 3 yesterday, day 4 today of the convention. Of course, the big keynote speech tonight from President Trump. I'm very eager just to see what it's going to be, because I think at this point we just don't really know what to expect from him after the assassination attempt exactly and the unity focus it seems to certainly be going on during the convention compared to other years and compared to other tones. David Wayne is back in Pensacola in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden apparently has tested positive for COVID-19. The White House says Biden tested positive after an event in Las Vegas. He wasn't feeling well after that event and was forced to cancel an afternoon speech at a Latino civil rights and advocacy event. The president is reportedly experiencing just mild symptoms there. New York under a state of emergency after tornadoes and strong storms yesterday. 9 tornadoes confirmed statewide, including an EF2 that hit Tuesday. And a Federal Reserve governor says it's getting closer to cutting interest rates. Christopher Waller hinted that the Fed expects a soft landing of the economy unless there's any major inflation changes or changes to employment numbers.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Couple of quick just on the street observations from the convention yesterday. We finally saw mounted police. Yep. We'd seen every other delivery mechanism for police, from bike cops to boats to, you know, we're just walking or being in the Bearcat. So we saw mounted police yesterday, you know, step carefully. And the other one is I got to see the bin of the things the TSA was taking from people that included a giant bottle of alcohol, like a 750 milliliter. I don't know if it was vodka or wine or what, but that was one of the things in the bin they took from somebody trying to get it
Fox
into the
News,
convention.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. Ohio Senator J.D. Vance making it official last night at the Republican National Convention.
Tonight, Mr. Chairman, I stand here humbled, and I'm overwhelmed with gratitude to say I officially accept your nomination to be Vice President of the United States of America.
He acknowledged the attempted assassination of his running mate.
As we meet tonight, we cannot forget that this evening could have been so much different. Instead of a day of celebration, this could have been a day of heartache and mourning.
And tonight, former President Donald Trump will formally accept his party's nomination for the presidency, and the theme of his message tonight is unity. President Biden has COVID. It's taking him off the campaign trail as more of his allies are calling for him to drop out of the race. He's going to be isolating at his beach house in Delaware. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. 77 degrees and cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Okaloosa County deputies say a 20-year-old illegal immigrant has been arrested, accused of sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl that he did not know. The alleged incident happened April 21st. The victim told investigators she woke up and a Hispanic male was sexually assaulting her, covering her mouth with his hand and speaking in Spanish. The suspect, now identified as Kevin Escobar Munoz, is from Honduras and had previously been deported in 2022. The FDLE says they were able to identify Escobar Munoz thanks to a DNA match from the victim's sexual assault kit. Officials at Charter School USA say they're very happy with the progress they've seen at Warrington Preparatory Academy. Dr. Eddie Ruiz tells Channel 3 that school grades are expected to be released in the next week.
I think we've made a dent. Like, in the beginning, we said this was going to be a long venture. This was not going to be, we weren't going to turn the school around in a year. It takes research 2 to 3 years, but I think we're moving in the right direction.
In addition, Ruiz says there will be a new principal for year two. Delvin Vick will take over the helm. He spent the last 15 years working at Turnaround Schools. They're also adding two more assistant principal positions. A big-time college baseball showcase coming to Blue Wahoo Stadium in the fall. Yesterday, the team announced that on Saturday, October 12th, local fans will get the chance to see Florida State take on Auburn.
Being able to bring these two top-notch teams here, Florida State and Auburn, in college baseball, and being able to show our community great things and what they could end up being. You know, a young kid that would never get to travel all the way to Tallahassee or Auburn to see these teams, and right here in their backyard, they're going to be able to see them, and I just think it's such a great thing for our community.
That's Wahoo's team president, Jonathan Griffith. For now, pre-sale tickets are available to Wahoo's season ticket holders before they go on sale to the general public on August 1st. Griffith says that tickets start at $15. Rick Scott says he wants more transparency about the attempt on Donald Trump's life. Senator Scott talked yesterday after a briefing from the Secret Service and the FBI. He said he's asking the two agencies to share the information that was in the briefing with the public. Scott says the Biden administration has to start being open with Americans about what happened, who's being held accountable, and how to make sure it never happens again. He also said that gross security failures led to the assassination attempt, but those who put their lives on the line following the shooting to protect former President Trump are heroes. 534 right now at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout your morning and afternoon. 70% chance of rain, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Friday, keeping that scattered shower and thunderstorm forecast around, 70% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 77 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 78. Some showers reported in Milton. Our next news at 6, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. NASA said it is canceling its water-seeking moon rover, citing cost overruns and launch delays. The Viper rover was supposed to launch in late 2023 aboard a lander provided by Astrobotic Technology, but extra testing and increased costs kept delaying the mission, threatening other projects. About $450 million has been spent so far in its development. NASA said it plans to study the presence of lunar ice through other projects. Astrobotic still plans to fly its Griffin moon lander by the end of next year. New U.S. home construction picked up in June, though a decline in single-family housing starts to an eight-month low underscored a real estate market challenged by high interest rates. Total housing starts increased 3% to a 1.35 million annualized rate last month, driven by a roughly 20% surge in multifamily construction, and that's according to government data. Starts of one-family homes fell for a fourth straight month. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Just in time for the summer season, Piedmore Imports has new Volkswagens being delivered daily with cool savings on their most popular models. Drive the family-sized 2024 Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport with 0.9% APR for 60 months. Or take $3,500 in customer cash. The midsize Tiguan available now with 1.9% APR for 60 months. Or $2,500 in customer cash. And the sporty Taos crossover with the same 1.9% APR or $2,000 in customer cash. Plus, the four-door Jetta sedan with amazing fuel economy, performance, and style has $2,000 in customer cash or an APR rate of 2.9 for 60 months. This Volkswagen lineup will take you through summer with cooler savings than before at Piedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's Reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Basically suffocated away from any development because we're having to come to the citizens and have them bond a $15 million parking garage. You know, but as we generate revenue with things, I don't know, like parking, then we can start to afford, you know, those capital improvements of which we have no revenue for and get our tourists to help pay for it. You know, right now, if we bond for a parking garage, 55,000 citizens, whether they go to a baseball game or not, are going to have to pay for it. So,
Mayor D.C. Reeves talking during his press conference on Tuesday about the proposal for a new, multifaceted development at Community Maritime Park, including, you know, a hotel and some parking and, living area. And kind of the implication that if you're going to get some of these investment amenities, infrastructure things built, then you're going to have revenue streams. And revenue stream could be from, you know, parking. Obviously, we're not paying for parking on Palafox and, you know, a lot of other places. But also from, you know, if somebody's paying a lease fee every month, then that's another way for people to, you know, for there to be revenue to do some of the bigger projects. I thought that was kind of an interesting observation. Had a chance to talk to Mayor Reeves yesterday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you. So let's talk about this. It's a big idea. What, a parking garage and a residence and maybe a hotel, and there's a height issue involved in needing to, you know, sort of exceed the norms, but offsetting that with affordable housing. What are we looking at Community Maritime Park? And don't get my hopes up for something that's not going to happen.
Hey, I know. I think we all feel that after what it's been 12, 14 years of threats of things to happen. To be honest, that's why I think we've spent so much time in this administration going through this lease. I feel very in so much better place of the lease that will come to this council in August than we were when we started, just because we're trying to eliminate, uncertainty. Excuse me. We're trying to eliminate uncertainty. And look, development is always uncertain, right? I mean, who thought interest rates would be where they are now, right? I mean, there is no such thing as a sure thing on a project of this scale. But what we could say is there's things you can do within the agreement, within the negotiation, that, for example, if the flag of whatever hotel they proposed the first time doesn't pan out, you still have to keep the level of quality, a certain star rating of hotel. Like, that's an example of something we put in. You can't just go from a 4-star hotel to a 2-star hotel and say that's the same project, as an example. So we've done everything we can do there and vetted out everything we can. But remember, I mean, way back when, the promise of this and the promise of the bonded money, the investment, was that there would be a return on this investment. And as I told our council, we spent my 20s and 30s on this earth trying to figure out what we want to do here. I'd like in my 40s to see something happen, you know, and I think we have put ourselves in a good place. I'm confident of where we are. There will always be variables. There's other things that we have to work through, but this is it gives us an opportunity to try to solve one snippet of the housing crisis. I know everyone gets on social media and thinks that we're going to solve all of the housing crisis with one project. That's not what we're saying, but we're able to get some housing. We're able to get some hotel rooms downtown that we need. And we're able to get some taxable income, get some property tax that can help us fund future projects.
You know, and I think it's funny because you've explained this so many times, but I don't know why people, maybe some people, it's just deliberate density. I don't know. All inventory helps the housing problem. Even if the residences that are provided are not affordable by whatever standard you want to use, the fact that there are going to be more places to live alleviates the pressure that has created the problem that we're in. And so it frees up lower value ones because there's just more inventory, makes more inventory, period, right?
Right. And it's a very natural reaction that when a project doesn't pertain to your income level, whether that be market rate, whether that be homeless transitional, whether that be 60%, 80%, 120%, you know, everybody is in a different place. And so that's what I always say is we all agree in the city of Pensacola that we have a housing crisis. That's where the agreement ends because then it's all our own perspective, right? Like what's our family situation? You know, what is affordable housing to me? And so it's an understandable reaction. But I think when people see the Motor Lodge, when they see this, when they see that is what when I say we have to attack it at scale, that's what I mean. There is no one single project, single piece of property or single tower that is going to solve our affordable housing issues. We've got Baptist Hospital, another example. I mean, we are really attempting to attack this on all fronts.
Yeah, there's absolutely and it's not a fair comparison because it's usually used as a criticism, but it's a mud against the wall and. Whatever sticks is going to help, but that's true. You know, if you throw enough, eventually the volume alone, because a little bit of the right thing will not do much. An awful lot of some right, some maybe not, will just, that will help in the long run. One thing I wanted to ask you about, I just don't understand the height criticism. I just don't get it because let's say you put in what is it, 10 or 12 stories or something like that. I mean, let's say it's in that vicinity. Who is that impeding? I mean, there's nobody living at Old Stinky, not yet. And you know, is it the people who? I mean, I don't even understand what thing that's going to bother people. You know, in the area, that's going to get in their way. You know, who is this going to bother? It feels more like people would just rather have nothing, because nothing will satisfy.
I think it would be fair to say that a lot of the criticism around height is the traditionalist mindset. You're going to block our view. Now, there's a couple things to understand. The southernmost point of Maritime Park will remain in the public realm forever. So, you know, access around, up and around. So to be able to be on the other side of whatever happens on Maritime Park is possible.
You can always go south of the high rise and look.
and you know, when someone says, well, man, you're going to start blocking views, I said, well, the only view I know it's going to block is mine, which I will happily have blocked. So you can take it. You can take it if it meant more tax revenue for us to, you know, have more public safety and more housing, you know. So. I think it's exactly what you said. It's more of the traditionalist. I mean, some parallels with charging for parking on our busiest iconic street that everybody wants to park on. It's these growing pains that what a great position that we're in, that we actually can consider towers. Imagine us having this conversation 20 years ago, being like, man, where should we put a tower that's 12 stories that someone wants to invest here without any tax abatement directly from the city, you know? So these are things that what I say on your radio show all the time, change causes anxiety. It just does. And we understand that. But you know, I think for the greater good, I mean, to get more housing units and remember, this was our investment. This is what the promise was many years ago when the money was bonded for this project.
You can't be upset that nothing gets built there and then get upset that something gets built there at the same time. It's kind of a catch-22. Hey, just a small note, but I guess we're anticipating kind of a cool announcement later today involving FSU and Auburn.
Yeah, actually, I think the announcement's coming shortly from Florida State. You know, back in my sports writing days, you know, I'm an FSU alum. I always hoped that they could play a baseball game here with that beautiful stadium. And I think we've got a fall ball game in order. October 12th at noon, FSU is going to play Auburn. And one cool snippet of that, not only to have FSU come over and play and Auburn come in, you know, we have two huge fan bases here, but even more exciting is that it's the bye week for football for both of those on that Saturday in October. So, you know, fan bases are worried about missing their football game. Won't have to worry about that on those two games. So huge credit to the Wahoos and Jonathan Griffith. And something that I had started texting with Link Jarrett, the head coach, and some of the administration over at FSU, and we kind of handed that off, and Wahoo's got it done. So very, very exciting to have that come in October when the weather's nice and you don't have to worry about a conflicting football game either.
No, that's great. And the continued improvement of our ability to be a destination venue for SEC and other collegiate level sports is just, I mean, it's really a credit to this area, not just at Wahoo Stadium, but whether it's, you know, up at the north end of the soccer complex, but all of this is really good news, I think. Hey, one just quick thing. I want to give you credit for, you said something in your press conference yesterday that really stuck with me is, you know, so much of the time in politics, you know, well, my council didn't make that decision, or I didn't make that decision, or my commission didn't make that decision. I appreciated your comment about how, generating revenue streams, whether it's from a deal at Community Maritime Park or whether it's from the charging for the parking, which I know we've had long conversations about that, but okay.
Yep.
You're bequeathing to the future mayors, whether that's you or somebody else, eventually it'll be somebody else. You're bequeathing to them a kind of opportunity to use that money to do the things that right now you don't have the extra money to do. And that makes sense to me. Like, that's a thinking about not even your own, like, administration, but thinking about, you know, what future administrations will be able to do. So I just want to, you know, give you a little bit of credit for that. I love that.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's just, you know, one thing news from yesterday was the Beulah Interchange has gotten funded, which we hoped and prayed for. And of course, that's not going to happen right away. But can you just maybe comment for a second on what you think that's going to mean for the Pensacola area? And whether you think developing what looks for all the world like eventually is going to be the city of Beulah, how that benefits or competes with the city of Pensacola?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we all know that everything around here in this area, you know, Pace, Milton, Gulf Breeze, you know, in some ways is kind of all one. Maybe not from a taxing standpoint, maybe not from a government standpoint, but certainly going from 300 call center jobs when Navy Federal started to what they are today has had a positive benefit on the city of Pensacola, in some way, even if that's indirect. So, you know, to make things easier, I mean, the reality is what we talk to developers, we talk to you know, national chains, and there's a lot of interest, of course, up in that Davis 9 mile area because of all of the activity that's happening up there. So to make that easier and look, you know, to make the commute faster, you know, think about that. If you live in the city of Beulah that you're projecting to get down there faster and have less traffic, where you're more likely to come enjoy the city of Pensacola as the mayor of the city, I think that's a good thing, too. So, you know, I mean, in a way, we don't act it in terms of government, but we really are all kind of one team in terms of wanting all of these things to be successful, because I really do believe that, you know, it lifts all boats for sure for us to all have the amenities and have the things that we need to be to have good quality of life.
Yeah, and with all the growth going on in that area, whether it ever incorporates or not,
right.
Just simply the fact that people who live, you know, north and west of there will now be able to hop on the interstate and in 5-10 at most minutes be in downtown Pensacola,
right, exactly.
Is good for, you know, where people can live in the city and then where they can live and then work in the city, where they can enjoy the city's amenities. I mean, all of that interconnectivity stuff is a benefit to the entire area. Just last real quick thing. I know where the Bearcat is on order. You mentioned that it has been hangups and hiccups with the production, which is kind of everything during and post COVID. But, you know, the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, their Bearcat took several shots to the windows. I was actually showing that to some guys driving one up here in Milwaukee yesterday, and they're like, man, yeah, these things are matter. That highlights the need for PPD to have not the old, you know, plumber's van that they've got now, right?
That's correct. And yeah, and remember, we were delayed a little bit because, you know, the government said, hey, we need their resources right now, the manufacturer. So it is in production. We know that. And August at the earliest, probably September, we send our crew up to Massachusetts, check it out, give it the thumbs up, and then we should have it somewhere in that September, October timeframe. So yeah, same with you. It's like that just reminded me what the value is. And imagine if that was us, and imagine if that was in, as you said, the plumber van, you know, is that would the outcome have been the same?
Right.
You know? And so it's just yet another reminder of why we need to, you know, with some respect, you know, send our officers who put their life on the line every day in with the best chance to be successful.
Absolutely. You know, we're all very eager to see that happen, especially once we learned what the current SWAT vehicle looks like. We always like to end with the mayor with a little bit of a lightning round. Quick questions for you. When you are working, do you prefer to have silence, music, news? If music, what kind of music?
No preference. I can live with all of them. I just never remember my AirPods in the office. So maybe if I did, I'd listen to more music. But no, I'd say either silence or, you know, some background TV maybe.
Gotcha. Do you write checks for any reason? When was the last time and for what?
Oh, God, no, it is rare, because I have to go, you know the file you keep like all your insurance documents in, that's like where I keep my check. Like, I'm not kidding, like that is like I have to go find it. It's not even like available in the junk drawer, you know. So man, it would have been something tax or insurance related that would have required a paper check. I honestly can't even remember. I guess that proves the point.
When it's in your car, or if you know, in your purse if you're a woman, that's one thing. When it's in the desk junk drawer, that's another thing. When it's all the way in the manila folder in the back of the top drawer of the file cabinet, right, you right. know how often
it's
you
the
write
emergency
checks.
Folder. It's the emergency.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And the last one, bagel and cream cheese. What mm-hmm. is the right way to eat that, particularly toasted, untoasted, and open face or sandwich style?
Toasted and definitely open face. It can't be, there can't be too much. It can't be the big glob of cream cheese like you get in New York or anything like that. Can't do it. It's got to be, remember back to peanut butter and jelly, just like a thin uniform layer.
I see.
You know, across.
All the way to the edge, no past the edge for
that's
you,
correct.
No squeeging out the middle or the outside.
That's correct. That's correct.
I got it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. We look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. And then, of course, we'll talk again next week. Thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Absolutely. 5:55 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of the community and is always focusing on the importance of public health awareness and preparedness. For more information on resources to improve the health of your community, contact your local Escambia County Health Department online at escambiahealth.com or follow Escambia Health Department on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Healthy Escambia.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, meet your friends downtown for another gallery night. This month's theme is Chalk Walk on Palafox. See gallerynightpensacola.org for more info. The Perdido Key Fishing Rodeo is Friday through Sunday. Weigh-ins are at 2 to 5 each day with raffle drawings and awards beginning at 5 at and around Entertainer Bait and Tackle on Perdido Key Drive. See perdidochamber.com for more. Submit your nonprofit event at newsradio923.com.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah.
Oh, we saw some work being done on the left side of the intersection, kind of a really cool big sign. Escambia County got us a 22-foot wide sign at the west gate. Right, it looks amazing, and we're probably going to go live on that shortly.
This is Village, as Captain Terry Shashadi, the commanding officer of NAS Pensacola, talking during a Facebook Live yesterday about something that I had seen last Thursday when I was at the base. There's a new digital signboard entering the base. And it's live to basically give you information as you're accessing the base for events or if there's some traffic issue or, as he said, if there's some admiral in town.
The museum and the traffic, like, hey, the parking lot is full, or just the standard, hey, we have this fancy admiral coming in. Hey, we want to welcome him.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's great. The Escambia County putting that together. And at first it caught me off guard because it's on the east side of Blue Angel, which you would think typically you put signboards on the right because that's where drivers always look for information. But I think the theory is here is that if people are backed up in Pine Forest or in Blue Angel traffic, they can see it more easily as they're stuck in traffic. And so this makes sense to me. The placement makes sense to me. David Wayne is in the newsroom with at least one headline for us. David? Or not. No big deal either way. Anyway, I think that's a pretty cool thing that they've got going in, and I appreciate the extra information, especially because when there's, you know, like we had the incident on the base the other day, and if the base is closed, that can tell people before they get...
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.